Our New Testament readings this Advent keep us with John in the wilderness, alongside the masses who clamor and cry out. Imagine a crowd 10 or 15 times the size of us, maybe 2,000 strong, sweating, searching, yearning, longing to hear more from this wilderness prophet, who some say might even be Elijah, who's come back from the grave. Others know him as John, that 6-foot-6-inch bruiser, muscle-bound, fur and leather toga, lean, mean, profiting machine. Imagine him scooping up fistfuls of locusts, grasshoppers, and shoving them into honey sandwiches, and yelling at the people, crying out, "Repent!" Some come to see the spectacle of John. They travel 50 miles or more to see what's been rumored about in the big city. Out in the wilderness, this wide-eyed prophet calls people to turn their lives around, to stop using their "Abraham will get me in" insurance policy and instead be a people who truly bear fruit, lest God axe their root. Others come to get in on this new time religion. They travel long, dusty roads to the grassy plains beside the River Jordan. They get plunged beneath the waters, cleansed, as some have called it, and set on a new path, washed, purified by these magical waters. Others come to get answers. Rather than climb to the top of Mount Hermon, they trekked across the countryside to hear from this renegade rural preacher who's come out in the wilderness with this message that will make your life feel like you're one who lives in a kingdom. So imagine yourself at the riverside this morning. What story resonates with you? What kind of seeker are you this morning? Longing to see a spectacle? Maybe searching for a new twist on religion? Looking for age-old answers to questions that have come from generations and generations to generations? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And so begins a triple refrain from the crowd. "Hey, fur-lined one, John, baptizer, what should we do?" John replies, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." The upper middle class tax collectors can't imagine that this is for them, so they too ask the fur-lined one a question. "John, baptizer, teacher, what should we do?" Imagine John grinning a mischievous grin. "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Oof. Gasp in the crowd. The civil soldiers, who may be that lower middle class group in the audience, they too ask John the question. "And we, look at us. What should we do?" John replies, "Do not force money from anyone by threats or blackmail, and be content with your wages." No words about performing more religious ritual. No commands to sacrifice at the local synagogue. Instead, practical, relational acts of justice and compassion, done to the other, done for the other. And those in the crowd were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John. And it's almost as if John sensed their murmurs and doubts, for he assured them that he was not the be-all, end-all. "One who is more powerful than I is coming. And with him comes fresh wind, fresh power, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Hear now the good news. And so in light of these exhortations from John, I ask you again to reflect on where you find yourself at River Jordan Community Church on this sunny Sunday in 30 CE. Imagine you're there. Which one of these exhortations makes your heart pitter-patter? All fall, we've been talking about doing stuff rather than simply being spiritual. We've talked about an embodied faith, and I hope that message has come through. A faith that's brought to life through our physical bodies, and also through this body of believers that we call and are named as the body of Christ. We talk of journeying inwards, but then we've also been pushing ourselves to journey outward, to be a people who live and put our faith on display with real life acts of compassion and care. So let's join the refrain of the crowds this morning. What then should we do? I want to give you even 15 or 20 seconds of silence to mull on that, because we as a group of 175 or 180 get to go 175 or 180 directions this week to live out this good news of justice, generosity, care, and compassion. 15 seconds just to think about what the Spirit might be stirring in us personally. Some of the social action justicey people in our midst will be quick to have 5 or 8 or 10 things that they want to do. And that's good. We need people like you in our midst. But I want us to also, as we reflect today and try to live this out today, use a prayer from Oscar Romero to help us walk the way. Oscar Romero, this prayer was drawn to my attention this week. He's a Catholic priest, archbishop in Latin America, who served and really preached and promoted social justice in the 70s and 80s and died as a martyr as he was leading a Catholic Eucharist in 1980. One of his quotes is, "Each one of you must be a microphone and a messenger of God." And his prayer of the kingdom takes the long view and includes this phrase, and I hope it will help us live this week: we cannot do everything. So I want to keep Romero's prayer in tension with, yes, let's do something and let's be something and let's live out practical ways of our faith this week. Because we know that in this Advent season, we talk and pray about this arriving one coming into our midst with generosity and grace upon grace, and so then we try to live these hearts of generosity and gratitude. And I also want to say that it's a great time to be a Christian, because we get to be held accountable by lots of different people and social media to not just talk about spirituality, but also to live it. And I was thinking this past week about the places where we have lived that, even this year as a community of faith. We've shared stories about how our Urban Promise summer youth ministry team really lived justly and generously as they served children in the inner city this past summer. Many of us have served a mustard seed meal or two and done that with generous hearts. I've heard other stories about how we care for each other in community in quiet but very compassionate and generous ways in this community of faith. And even in your bulletin today, you'll see that we've just heard from the mustard seed how we can actually give a coat this week to men who are homeless in the city who need XL and 2XL jackets. And so we can take this to heart. We who can afford to buy a coat, or maybe have two or three coats sitting in our closet, our minister of community life, Karen, will gather those this week and in the weeks to come and take those to the Mustard Seed and share those with homeless men in Edmonton who need better coats this winter. We cannot do everything, but John's exhortation encourages us to do something. Practical, compassionate, caring ways. And so I want to close with the closing paragraph of Romero's prayer and invite you to pray with me. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the enterprise that is God's work. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future that is not our own. Amen.